श्री महागणपतये नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। इन्द्रियं ददातु मयि मेधां मयि प्रजां मयि सूर्यो भ्राजो ददातु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः।
गौडपादाचार्य फ्रॉम द 75th कारिका हैज बीन डिस्कसिंग द कॉज ऑफ संसार बीइंग द इग्नोरेंस, the solution, the means of freedom from the samsara being the attainment of knowledge. Here, the ignorance by itself does not cause the problem, but the ignorance resulting in the erroneous perception called adhyasaha. Ignorance of the reality as the one's own self, ignorance of one's real nature, what is that? Turiyam, turiya chaitanyam, being one's real self. Even though relatively one is Vishwaha, absolutely one swarupam is turiya atma, turiyam chaitanyam. I, the experiencer, am turiyam, the consciousness, the atma. That must be very clear. But that what one's real nature is absolutely is not known. Not knowing one's absolute nature being turiyam results in what? Results in the adhyasa. What is adhyasaha? Ajnanam results in adhyasaha, erroneous perception of one's own self. And this erroneous perception of one's own self gives rise to what? Gives rise to the erroneous perception of the world also. And thereby, the notions one has about oneself also are erroneous. The notions, the image, you know, one has about the world also is what? Erroneous. Thereby, one becomes dependent upon the world for one's security and happiness because of his wrong perception of the world as the source of happiness. A source, you know, the world as the response, being responsible for one's unhappiness. Therefore, the raga dveshas come into the picture. When do we have ragadveshas? Ragadveshas themselves are towards the world, isn't it? The likes or dislikes towards the world, the ragadveshas towards the world are because of this erroneous perception of this world. And thereby, there is samsara, which understood. Ajnanam results in adhyasa, adhyasa results in adhyaropaha, adhyaropaha leads to ahankara, and ahankara results in kama, desires, and desires results in what? Karma, karma, and the karma produces phalam, and phalam becomes cause for our janma, purajanma, isn't it? That is, there is this ajnanam, even though directly is not the cause, indirectly it is the root cause, which this adhyasa is the direct cause of this samsara. Therefore, this correction in the error of perception is possible only through jnanam. Therefore, he emphasized, definitely only through jnanam one can free oneself from the life of limitations, the life of transmigration, this bondage. Isn't it? Even. Therefore, here, then he said, jnanam is jnanam enough for mokshaha. If you say, jnanam will help you resolve the ajnanam, but jnanam itself is not enough. Why jnanam itself is not enough? Jnana Nishta is very, very important. The assimilation of the knowledge is important. Assimilation of the knowledge is actually freedom. Without the jnanam, there is no way of assimilation of the knowledge. Therefore, through shravanam, one has to attain jnanam, and later on, that jnanam has to become assimilated, ascertained. Why? The reason we discussed in the last class also, because when we go through suffering in our dream experience, suppose a thief comes and he robs your money in a dream, he was chasing you the whole the dream, then you were very frightened and you got scared and you got up. From when you wake up from sleep, what happens? You have to have a big why? Because all your dream problems do not continue in the waking state, isn't it? Then you no more you have any hatred towards that. In waking, I really hate that idiot. I really hate that fellow. How much he made chased me. How much he made me, feel frightened. I really hate that fellow. I'm so angry. You in waking state, if you are angry with that person, the thief whom you met in your dream, and who really chased you, who made you suffer in dream, you don't have any anger or hatred towards that person whom you met in your dream. Why? When you wake up from sleep, you only laugh at yourself. My God, how much I got scared. How much I was... No, you only laugh at the whole situation. There's no anger. Why? There's no hatred towards that person. You hate that person. What can you do? Can you go and find him anywhere and then slap him back? Or complain to police? No. Well, because dream problems resolve when you wake up, when you see yourself as a waker. It's just, when you see yourself as a waker, the whole thing disappears. It's very easy. But here, through the Shastra Shravanam study, through Shravanam, when you attain Jnanam, you understand, I, the knower, am consciousness, the Turiyam, I am different from the waker, I am distinct from the waker to Vishwaha, I am distinct from the Taijasaha experiencer, Taijasaha, I am distinct from Pragyaha, I, the knower, experiencer, am not the Vishwa Tajasa Pragya. Only relative roles I play. Vishwaha is a relative role I play, and Taijasaha is also what? Relative role I play in my dream. Actually speaking, absolutely, I, the experiencer, am Turiyam, the consciousness. This knowledge you definitely attain through the Shastra Shravanam, the study of the Shastra. Even after attaining this knowledge also, all the time effortlessly you do not remember this knowledge. Do not remember this fact which you have understood. It's a fact. Subtlest fact you have understood. Do not remember. Because of our the habits. I'm going to discuss this point again in our sixth chapter class also, talks also. We'll discuss that. Here what happens, how when we come in contact with any of our external objects, when we associate ourselves with the people or objects, then naturally the ego in us is invoked, the Vishwaha comes to the surface, our Turiyams, the Jnanam that I am the waker, I am consciousness, absolutely, that knowledge goes back, which means you forget and you transact in this world as a waker. Then what happens? Then again, the knowledge does not seem to be effective. With the knowledge also, your behavior is like an ajnani, which means the knowledge, still you are unhappy, still you are complaining, lamenting, worrying person, in spite of the anuj. Why? Because it is natural for us, whenever we confront the world, when you are in contact with the external world, you have to transact, interact with the world, the people, and different roles you play, you can't help, you have to play the roles. In playing the roles all the time, I am playing the role, you forget. Your real nature, what you are really, you forget. And the role play, which you have to, temporary role play, the incidental role play, becomes your real play, isn't it? Real nature. Then your behavior is like that. That's why I said, the whole life is like a big stage, the drama, and where you go, you in green room, what you think of yourself, you are, you know what you are, but you go to the stage, even then you know what you are. You are not that role play you are doing there. You mean, so I'm only enacting this. This is a role I'm playing on this stage at this time with this character. This is the character in front of me. I'm playing this here. What now? This is a wife, a character's wife in front of her. And in this place, I'm playing this role, the husband role, isn't it? Which is incidental, temporary role. But what I am absolutely... I'm not this absolutely, but relatively I'm playing this role. This, we never remember this, isn't it? Imagine what will happen if the actor who goes there and really mistakes himself for the role, he does not want to leave the stage, isn't it? And psychiatrist has to go and sedate him and take him to the hospital and then put him there and then give him some shock treatment and everything and correct him and has to send him back. Oh, I'm not that beggar who acted as a beggar. Like that, no? Shastram also is what now? That's what Shastram gives shock treatment. Shastram has to give the shock treatment to all the mad people. You know? We are very too bad and then Bhagavan will chain us also. Therefore, here, that treatment is needs. Therefore, here, assimilation of knowledge also is important. To remember the roles as roles. So not to internalize the roles. What assimilation is for, what should we do? Therefore, Nididhyasanam is emphasized. Gaudapada Acharya says what? Shravana Dwara Ajnana Nivrittihi. Isn't it? But Nididhyasana Dwara, you know, what happens? The Jnana Nishtha. So only through Shravanam you can resolve the ignorance. But after having got a clear understanding, one has to repeatedly dwell upon the teaching to really assimilate. Assimilation is important. Nididhyasanam is important. And before Nididhyasanam, one should become very clear also about one's real nature. But until the teaching becomes very clear, one has to do repeatedly Shravanam. Therefore, Jnanam alone is not enough. Without the Jnanam, Jnana Nishtha is not possible. Assimilation, ascertainment of the vision is not possible. But without Shravanam, Jnanam itself is not possible, isn't it? Therefore, he emphasized also what? Jnana Nishtha. Why Jnana Nishtha is important? Because, and later on, the last verse we saw was, it is this interaction with the external world, contact with the external world, association with the other people, and situations, interactions in situations, different situations in the world will definitely make us forget the knowledge we have because of our habits, isn't it? Because our old habits will be transacting with the world even after the knowledge also. Our transaction with the world will be like before because of the old habit. Why I am doing the same thing? The old habit. You know, Pujya Swamiji gives his example. Every time he used to travel a lot between America and India, he traveled between the two countries. And whenever he is in India, the steering is one side, isn't it? The car. In America, steering is other side. So whenever because in India he gets used to sitting all the time, getting into the car one side. When he goes to America, and because of the habit, isn't it? He always goes to the other side to get into the car. And then when he opens the door, my friend, he'll see the steering. Oh, there's a steering. Oh, I forgot. Whenever he goes to the car, what does it mean? Does he not have the knowledge that the steering is this side? He knows in America and all the cars steering is other side, he remembers. It's his own example, okay? He knows that. But still, why does he go this side where the steering is? Habit. So, and he remembers, then he comes to this side, okay? We go to the other side to get into the car. The habit, it is not here the error of going to the wrong side is not because of ignorance, but because of habit. We also have old habits of how to relate to this person. All these days, we've been relating to people differently. Suddenly, you can't behave like a Mahatma, you know. Even though you are a Mahatma, you know what you are. But still, you react like before because of the old habits, old associations, isn't it? That is what here we have to, that knowledge has to be remembered always. Amturi, I mean what? Then how you can avoid, you know, the reactions, and then you can respond intelligently, prudently, and avoid thoughtless reactions, isn't it? Therefore, assimilation is important, for which Nididhyasanam is a must. All the time, I had to remember the fact to correct the error caused by my habits. I need to make this knowledge assimilated. Simple knowledge is not enough. Knowledge should become ascertained. And later on, so not only the simple people whose ahankara is involved, who forget their knowledge because of the old habits, simple people who studied the shastram, simple lay people who understood, but even though they understood, they got the knowledge, aham brahmasmi jnanam is very clear, still they forget. It is natural for them to forget when they interact with the world because of the lack of assimilation of the knowledge. But they are also great thinkers, they are great philosophers, who also, you know, for whom also this knowledge becomes, what now, completely veiled, because they also cannot see this fact. Atma jnanam, this wisdom, this knowledge, which alone will free them from limitations, this knowledge remains veiled even for people. What is it which veils them, isn't it? Here he says, their own concepts, their own views, contentions. And the contentions and views they have from their own standpoint as the waker prevent them from seeing what they are absolutely. They see things how? From the relative standpoint. From the standpoint of a waker, they view how what this world is all about, what the reality is. Then, whatever contentions, views they have from their standpoint, that they hold on to the very strongly those views, and those views also prevent them from seeing what they have to see absolutely, from absolute standpoint. Is it clear? And Gurupa Acharya gives, we saw last class, how Nyaya Vaiseshika says, what is Nyaya Vaiseshika's view, and what is this Yogacara Bauddha's view, and what is this Jaina's view, and what is Madhyamika Bauddha's view. And then these four philosophers he mentioned there, and how even for these people, their views really cover their intellect, which means they're also deprived of the vision of the reality. They're also deprived of what? The vision of the fact. Isn't it? Therefore, they also remain bound. Not only the ordinary people, the lay people, even the so-called philosophers, no, they remain ignorant of the truth.
Kotyaschatasra etastu grahairyasam sahavrutaha. Samsahavrutaha Bhagavanabhiraspruṣṭo yena drishtasa sarvadrik. Kotyaschatasra etastu grahairyasam sahavrutaha.
What is the word you have? Hamavrutaha, sahavrutaha? Sadavrutaha. Okay.
Grahairyasam sadavrutaha. Bhagavanabhiraspruṣṭo yena drishtasya sarvadrik.
Now he says, kotyaha chatasraha. The word kotyaha means is a plural form of kotihi. Kotihi means here the view, the contention, the opinion. It's called kotihi. Not our Tamil, the koti means there 1 crore, isn't it? Not that koti here. Here kotihi means a contention, a view. Chatasraha kotyaha. Chatasraha is a number, 4. It is a feminine form, okay, feminine gender, 4. Chatvaraha, masculine, 4. Chatvari, neutral, 4. Chatasraha, feminine, 4. Only up to 4, in Sanskrit language, we have the difference. On up to 4. Ekaha, eka, ekam. Okay, so ekam, neutral. Eka, feminine. Ekaha, masculine. Ekam, ekaha, eka. One book, one man, ekaha, eka. One woman. Now, dvau. You can say dve, two books, dve, neuter, dve, feminine, dvau, masculine. Then, trini, neuter, trini, trayaha, tisraha, masculine, neuter. Then we have chatvari, chatvaraha, chatasraha. We have gender difference even in numbers. The gender difference is there until this number 5, 4. 5 onwards, easy. No gender difference. 5 women, 5 men, 5 books. No gender difference from number 5. Understood? Therefore, here he is. Chatasraha kotyaha means what now? 4. Unnecessary information I was giving. Okay? But still. Chatasraha kotyaha means the 4 different contentions of 4 different philosophers, of 4 systems of philosophy enumerated in the previous verse. Yetaha chatasraha kotyaha. The 4 different contentions of 4 different philosophers. And these contentions, views, they hold on to. From which standpoint? From the standpoint of the relative reality. Isn't it? Relative reality. Relative reality means what? From the standpoint of the waker. Therefore, yasam grahaihi sadavrutaha. Yasam grahehi sadavrutaha. Sada avrutaha. Yasam grahehi. Holding on to these views. for these philosophers, no? For these philosophers of different views and contentions, sada avrutaha, the real, their real nature, Bhagavan here means Atma. You understand, Bhagavan, who is Bhagavan here? The Turiyam, Turiyaha Atma, the Chaitanyam, the consciousness, the all-pervasive reality, obtaining as one's own real nature, is Atma here, Turiyach Atma, is ever covered. Sada Avrutaha. Ever remain, what now, covered. For whom? For these people. Why? Because they are so holding on to their contentions so strongly, they do not see beyond what they see. For them to see beyond what they see, they have to come to what? Vedanta Shastram, isn't it? They hold on to their own views. This is what the truth is. No, there is no Atma. There is Atma who comes and goes, isn't it? There is a Karta Bhokta. So there is no Atma other than the flickering, fleeting consciousness. Like that, they are so strong. So Yasam Grahehi means being held by their own contentions. Being strongly held by their own contentions. Now who are holding on to them? Now they are holding on to their views. Their views are what now? No, really covering their intellect, which means being held by their own views and contentions, they are prevented from what now? Seeing their own real nature being consciousness, the Turiyam. Vyasam Grahaihi Sada Avrutaha. Bhagavan, their own real nature, Atma, the Turiya Atma, the consciousness, is really covered for these people of strong views. So Grahaha means what now? Their own views. The view they hold on to is called Grahaha. So Grahaihi, Yasam, Grahaihi, Sada Avrutaha. Always Atma is prevented from being seen. The Atma is covered. Avrutaha means covered. Which means they are not seeing their real nature being Turiyam, the consciousness. So Bhagavan is covered for them. Atma is covered here for them. Which means they also fail to see the real nature being Turiya Atma, the consciousness. Whereas Bhagavan, who is Bhagavan here again? Atma. See, Bhagavan, the word Bhagavan is used here in the place of Atma. Who is Atma here? All pervasive, innermost, essential nature of every being, the consciousness is what? Atma. The Atma is implied by the term here, Bhagavan. Bhagavan, that Atma, abhihi asprishtaha. Asprishtaha means no, untainted, untouched, okay, unpolluted, untouched by all these different contentions. Can any of this contention now pollute the Atma, touch the Atma, taint the Atma, contaminate the Atma? No. Therefore, Atma, the all-pervasive reality obtaining as the essential nature of every being here, is completely untainted, untouched by what? These different views. Isn't it? Well, how we say? Because, please understand here, every view, every contention a person has from the standpoint of the one's own self as a waker. This is how I see this. When you say, you are seeing yourself as a waker, isn't it? When a person has any contention, any view, that view or contention is from the standpoint of the waker. Got it? And a contention becomes what now? A concept. Any contention, view is a concept. any concept is a thought, and in the form of a thought, and thought is anatma. What about the Bhagavad Atma here? Atma is the very swarupam of the conceiver, distinct from the concept. Is it clear? The very swarupam of any conceiver, very swarupam of the conceiver is what? Atma, the consciousness. And therefore, that Atma, Bhagavan, Atma, the consciousness, Turiyam, is distinct from being the swarupam of the conceiver, distinct from any concept in the form of the thought. Any concept is a thought, and a thought is an object, and therefore what? Any thought is mithya. Understand now? A concept is a thought which is mithya. Whereas Atma here is what? The Turiya Chaitanyam is the very swarupam of the conceiver, the subject which is Satyam. Satyam is distinct from the Mithya thought. Turiyam Satyam is distinct from Mithya concept, the form of thought. A concept is a thought, a contention is a thought, a view is a thought, a notion is a thought. Is it clear now? Is it view? And all these people are what now? Holding on to their views. Therefore, this Atma, the consciousness, is what now? Untouched, untainted by any of the thoughts. The Mithya can never taint the Satyam. Just as the opaque things which shine in the light cannot pollute, contaminate, not taint or touch the light. Similarly, any view, any contention in the form of a thought shines in the presence of the awareness, the consciousness. And if Vedanta is interested in the very truth, Satyam, the consciousness, absolutely real awareness, not in the concepts. So the difference now? That is why the contention is right or wrong, relatively right. We are not saying anything. That is why Vedanta can gulp anything. You know that. And Vedanta's interest is in revealing the swarupam of the very conceiver, which is completely distinct from all the concepts and contentions and views. Therefore, what we say here, Vedanta is not a system of philosophy. Okay, people, Vedanta philosophy, they'll say. Please understand, Vedanta is not a system of philosophy. Because why? Because Vedanta is not a concept. Anything, any view or contention, a concept, you can call it what? You can call it a system of a philosophy. Vedanta, what is revealed by the Vedanta is not a concept. It's not a Vedantic concept. Understand? Again, people say Vedantic concept. Vedanta is not a concept. Vedanta is not a content. Vedanta reveals. Vedanta is negation of all the concepts. Vedanta is negation of all the views and contentions. Vedanta negates all the views and contentions, thereby it helps us see the swarupam, which is being distinct from all the concepts. You got it? Very subtle point. Hope you understood it, really. Therefore, etaha chatasraha kotyaha, these four different concepts, you know, four different views, contentions of these four different philosophers, because being held by those views and contentions, unfortunately, they stuck with the thoughts, isn't it? They are not prevented from seeing their real nature, being Turiyam, the absolute reality being their own swarupam, the Turiya Chaitanyam, which is the very swarupam of the conceiver, which is distinct from these views. Isn't it? They do not see the truth. Why avritaha? This truth, Bhagavan, the truth, the reality, the Atma is covered for them. Understand? Attention is stuck in the thought, the views. Yes, Bhagavan, whereas now understand, Atma Bhagavan, here Atma the Bhagavan is asprishtaha, absolutely untainted, untouched by any of these thoughts. No view, no contention, no thought, no concept can ever pollute, touch, contaminate, taint the consciousness. Why? All the contentions shine in the form of thoughts, in the awareness, the consciousness, which is your real nature. Got it? So, under this way, Vedanta is never should be misunderstood as a system of philosophy. Vedanta negates all the systems, all the thoughts, that it helps you see what the reality is. What is beyond the concepts, beyond the thoughts. Therefore, Bhagavan abhi asprishtaha. Yena drishtaha saha sarvadhrik. And yena, the one by whom this fact is clearly seen. Yena drishtaha means the one by whom this fact has been clearly seen. Fact was seen. This fact is seen by whom? He alone is the seer of the truth. The seer of the truth is the seer of everything. Sarvadrik means, seer of everything means the seer of the whole. Seer of the whole means what? He is Sarvajnaha. Because the knowledge of the reality is always complete. It doesn't become incomplete knowledge. Knowledge of Atma is always a complete knowledge. Knowledge of Anatma will always be incomplete knowledge. Isn't it? Therefore, there is no second reality other than Atma. Therefore, if you know the Atma, you know the reality of the whole. Satya Jnanam is what? Sarva Jnanam. Satya Jnanam is Sarva Jnanam. Knowledge of the reality is knowledge of the whole. Whereas knowledge of Mithya is always incomplete knowledge. Sarva Jnanam. Sarva Drik means what? The person of the vision of the totality. Vision of the whole. Sarvadrik. Who is that person who has this, understands this fact? Yena drishta, the one by whom this fact is very clearly seen. What is that? All the contentions, all the philosophies, all the systems of philosophy, they're all views, concepts in the form of thoughts. And the thoughts are mithya. Because thoughts are mithya, they're all inner thoughts which shine in the satyam, the awareness. The awareness is what? The very swarupam of the conceiver, distinct from the concepts. And the chaitanyam is what? Actually, I am that atma, turiyam, the consciousness, which is distinct from all the concepts. One who understands this fact is the one who sees everything, sarvadrik. Which means what? One who sees one's own real swarupam being turiyam, and he sees everything. He is the seer of everything, seer of all, seer of the whole. Sarvadrik. He is a sarvajnaha. He is really all-knowing person. Paramartha Panditaha Sarvajnaha. Shankara says in his commentary, Sarvajnaha Paramartha Panditaha. He is the person of vision of the absolute reality. He is all-knowing, sarvajnaha, knower of everything, knower of the whole. Prapya sarvajnatam kritsnam.
Prapya sarvajnatam kritsnam.
Ramanyam padamadvayam.
Ramanyam
padamadvayam. Anapannadi madhyantam.
Anapannadi
madhyantam. Kimatav paramihate.
Kimatav
paramihate. Prapya sarvajnatam kritsnam.
Prapya
sarvajnatam kritsnam. Brahmanyam padamadvayam.
Brahmanyam padamadvayam.
Anapannadi madhyantam.
Anapannadi madhyantam.
Kimatav paramihate.
Kimatav paramihate.
In this verse, a jnani is glorified. This verse presents the glory of a wise person. Whenever the wise person is glorified, the glorification of the wise person is the glorification of the very wisdom itself. What is wisdom here? The turiya jnanam. Turiya atma jnanam is the knowledge of one's real swarupam, is what? The wisdom here. Self-knowledge is the wisdom. Nothing else is considered as wisdom in the light of Shastra. Okay. Sarvajnatam kritsnam prapya. Kritsna, sarvajnata means sarvajnatvam. Sarvajnatvam is what? Now, having attained the status of being the all-knowing. Who attains the status of being the all-knowing? This wise person. This wise person, does he know everything now? No. He does. He may not know physics, chemistry, he may not know medicine, engineering, he may not know anything else in the world. He may know so many things, he may not know everything everything here. He may not know this aeronautical engineering, he may not know, he may not know many things in the world. But still, what he knows is what? Paramartha darshanam. He has paramartha darshanam. He has the paramartha jnanam, isn't it? He has the vision of the absolute reality, ultimate truth of the whole as his own essential nature, his own sarupam, this person. Therefore, what now? He has the attained status of being the all-knowing. How? By knowing one thing, everything else becomes known as it were. Where did we hear this? Mundaka Upanishad. What was the question asked? Kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. What is that by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? So he says, knowing one thing, everything else becomes known as it were, that is Param Brahma Chaitanyam. So, turiya jnanena sarvam jnatam bhavati. Isn't it? Everything becomes known as it were. Isn't it? Knowing the water, the H2O, being the truth of one wave, is as good as knowing, what now? All the waves. You don't need to go and see all the way one by one. What is this wave? What is this wave? What is this wave? You need not go and search for every wave. By knowing one thing, everything becomes known as it were. Therefore, by knowing the truth of one's own self, as turiyam, distinct from the vishwa, taijasa, prajna, knowing turiyam, this person, sarvajnatam prapnoti. Sarvajnatvam prapnoti. But now he attains the status of being the all-knowing, sarvajnaha. He gets the title Sarvajnaha. Only we say, okay, he doesn't say, I'm Sarvajnaha, you know. It's not the wise person who goes and boasts everywhere, I'm Sarvajnaha. No. Shastram gives the title to Mahatma, who has the vision of the truth as his very real nature. For him, a Bhagavan is, very Swarupam is Bhagavan, and that Swarupam is what? The whole. For him, Bhagavan is what now? Self is the whole. Therefore, here, Sarvajnatam Prapnoti. This first, he attains the status of being the all-knowing. Then, next, Brahman Krishnam Sarvajnata means his absolute, totally. Krishnam Sarvajnata means his knowledge is complete knowledge. Knowledge of the reality is always complete knowledge. Knowledge being the complete knowledge, he attains the status of being the all-knowing. Then, Brahmanyam Padam Prapnoti. Second, Brahmanyam Padam Prapnoti. He attains the status of being the Brahmanaha. We always say, who is a Brahmanaha? Who is a Brahmanaha? By birth, if one claims oneself to be a Brahmana, he is only relatively a Brahmana, isn't it? But who is absolutely Brahmana? In the books of Shastram, the Brahmanaha is the one who knows Brahman, the absolute, incomparably, limitlessly big reality, the consciousness, the awareness, being the Turiyam Chaitanyam, distinct from Vishwa Tejasa Prajna. I'm using the Mandukya Upanishad words now, okay? Instead of doing different words. Vishwa Tejasa Prajna. You should remember all those words now. At least from listening to all these four chapters, Vishwa Tejasa Prajna becomes very clear, isn't it? Therefore, I am the Turiyam, I am the Turiyam Chaitanyam, distinct from Vishwa Tejasa Prajnaha, Turiyaha Atma, one who has this knowledge, such a person alone knows what now? The truth of the whole. Because Eka Vijnanena Sarva Vijnanam, isn't it? By knowing one thing, he knows the truth of everything. Thereby, he is called what? Sarvajnaha. As Sarvajnaha, he is a Brahmanaha. Sarvajnaha alone is a Brahmanaha. Who is a Brahmanaha? Sarvajnaha is Brahmanaha, not Alpajnaha. One who knows little is not, I'm a Brahmana, I've come from this place, If he has strong Vishwa identity, isn't it? And he knows very little. Such a person knows very little. Therefore, Alpajnaha is not a Brahmanaha, but Sarvajnaha is a Brahmanaha. Sarvajnaha is the one who knows his real nature being Turiya Atma. So he attains the status of being the Brahmanaha. That's next status. Others are not Brahmanas. According to Shastram, Ajnanis are not Brahmanas. Then, he quotes the words also, Shankara Bhagavatpada quotes, Saha Brahmanaha, Yeshaha, Nityo Mahima Brahmanasya. He quotes this Shruti's Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, mantra he quotes to just to say, even Upanishad says what? Brihadaranyaka Upanishad specifically mentions who is the Brahmanaha. In Mundaka Upanishad also we came across the word Brahmanaha. There one who learns from one's life's experiences, there be one who understands that nothing in the world can give me happiness. One who understands the limitations of everything in the world other than jnanam, nothing else will give me what I am searching for. One who is clear about this fact is one who has learned from one's own life's experiences. Pariksha lokan karma chitan nirveda mayat brahmanaha. There he is a brahmanaha. But here Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, one who knows the reality, thereby, one who becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge, one who attains the knowledge, he is a Brahmanaha. He attains the Brahmana status. Then, Advayam Padam Prapnoti. You can say Advayam Prapnotmi. Advayam here implies non-dual reality. Non-dual reality is what? Brahman, absolute reality. So, Advayam Prapnoti means he attains Brahman, attains the status of being Brahman. See, even though before the knowledge also you are Brahman, you were Brahman. And during when you are studied through Shravanam time also you are Brahman. To Maranam also you are Brahman. During Nididhyasam also you are Brahman. After the ascertainment of the knowledge also what? You are Brahman. You were, you are, you will ever be Brahman. But until and unless you know you are Brahman, you are not Brahman, isn't it? You don't attain the status. So you have to know that the fact that what you are. Therefore, Advayam Prapnoti means this wise person attains the status of being Brahman. What does it mean? He becomes Brahman means through knowledge. Becoming Brahman, you can never, one, nobody can become Brahman. Why? Because everyone is already Brahman. So, in through knowledge, one takes ownership of one's real nature being Brahman. So, taking ownership of oneself being already the limitless reality is what? Becoming Brahman, attaining the status of being Brahman. So, three, he has mentioned three now, no? So, sarvajnyatam prapnoti, brahmanyam padam prapnoti, advayam brahma prapnoti. Is it? Now, anapannadi madhyantam. And this word talks about adi madhyantam anapannam. This Brahman, what is Brahman? Which has no beginning, adi, no madhya, middle, no antam. Which has no end. So this adi madhya anta anapannam. Anapanna adi madhyantam means this Brahman. The word Advaya means what? Non-dual reality Brahman has no beginning, has no end, no middle means what? It is free from time, spatial limitations. The two limitations are negated here. So he attains the status of being Brahman, which is time-wise, spatially limitless. Time-wise, spatially limitless reality, Brahman, and he is what is what for him? I am Brahma. Aham Brahma Asmi means what? Aham Turiya Atma Asmi. Aham Turiya Chaitanyam Asmi means what? Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi means what? No, I the Self am the time-wise, spatially limitless, eternal, beginningless, changeless, everlasting reality, all-pervasive reality, the consciousness. Isn't it? That knowledge becomes very clear for him. Anapanna Adi Madhyantam. And last one he says, Ataha Param Kim Ihate. Ataha Param, once he says the next sentence, when you say he attains the status of being Brahman, which is free from time, spatial limitations, all limitations, which means there's nothing he lacks. Ataha Param Kim Ihate. Having attained the status of being the all-knowing, having attained the status of being, you know, being the Brahmana, having attained the status of being what? Being the Brahman itself, then what else does he desire? Ataha param kim ihate. What else does he need to accomplish? Ataha para, adarkum melaha veradai vendugirar. Isn't it? What else does he need? Why? Because in attaining the status of being Brahman, he is of the nature of fullness and limitlessness. Which means attaining the status of Brahman implies what? Taking ownership of one's real nature being fullness and limitlessness. In having taken ownership of one's real nature being fullness and happiness, limitlessness, and where is the inadequacy, where are the needs, therefore, where is the question of longing for anything? There was he attained a sense of fulfillment, purnatvam. The second answer implies what? He having attained the status of, in a sense of fulfillment. He has attained the sense of fulfillment also. These were the four ways of what the accomplishment of a wise person. Four, na? We start describing a wise person here. Kim ataha param kim ihate. What else does he need to attain? What else does he desire? Is an akshay parthya prashna. This is just a simply question is asked. The answer is nothing does he need to attain, accomplish. Nothing does he desire afterwards, isn't it? The answer is understood here in the very question. And Shankara quotes this sentence from Bhagavad Gita. Naiva tasya krite nartha na krite neha kaschana. That this sentence from Bhagavad Gita is quoted. Na chasya sarva bhuteshu kaschidarthavya pasraya. This is a verse from Bhagavad Gita. He Shankara quotes in this context, which means this wise person, for he is a man of accomplishment. Naiva tasya kritena artha. By doing something also, he cannot improve his fullness. But not doing also, no, na akritena kritena artha. There is nothing he's going to lose by not doing anything. Nothing he's going to gain by doing anything. Isn't it? Nachasya sarva bhuteshu kaschid arthavyapasraya. He is not dependent on anything, anybody in this world for his fullness or happiness. Not even little. Sarva bhuteshu arthavyapasraya kaschid nasti. There is no dependence at all, absolutely, for him on anything or anybody in the world for his fullness and happiness, security. Understand, which means that's why he is a person of accomplishment. This is the person of accomplishment. He has a sense of fulfillment. Real fulfillment. The real accomplishment is what? You know, becoming self-dependent. Isn't it? In fact, he is absolutely independent. But emotionally he is independent. Don't think physically, okay? Don't, I don't need you, help you. It's not physically, life is interdependence. I'm talking about emotionally, he's absolutely independent. If emotionally you are free, you can manage physically very well. Okay, physical things can be managed very well if you're emotionally independent. It is the emotional dependence which really chases us towards things, the world of objects. The Bhagavan protect us. Anapanna, Adi Madhyantam. I said that which is devoid of. That which is devoid of Adi Madhyanta, I said. It is adjective for Advayam Brahma. So as I said, the 85th Karika, describes the wise person how, you know, glorifies, saying what he attains these four things. What are the four things? He attains Sarvajnata, he attains Brahmanyam Padam, he attains the Advayam Brahma Padam, Advayam, then Anapannadi Madhyantam Advayam Brahma Padam. The Kimata Paramihate, that question implies what else he needs to achieve, having accomplished a sense of fulfillment. Why? Because he revels in attainment of Brahman implies attainment of what? Fullness. There's no attainment here. Attainment is in terms of knowledge. Isn't it? Taking ownership of his real nature, the Turiyam, as his real self, is the attainment. There's no real attainment here. This last verse, that this topic is going to end here with 86th Karika.
Vipranam Vinayo Hyeshaha. Vipranam
vinayo hyeshah shamah prakrita uchyate damah prakriti dantatvat evam vidvan shamam vrajet vipranam vinayo hyeshah shamah prakrita uchyate damah prakriti dantatvat evam vidvan shamam vrajet So here, this verse presents another benefit of knowledge, the consequence of knowledge, the effect of knowledge, how this assimilated, ascertained vision of the reality being one's own real swarupam, nature, one's own self, results in having all the disciplines as very natural traits. All the disciplines means what? Samadhi Shatka Sampati. We can talk about Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampati. We discussed there all the disciplines. Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha. All these disciplines. Disciplines which have to be practiced seriously. To practice them, one has to really make efforts, isn't it? Deliberately, one has to take initiative and effort, put in efforts to practice them, to live those disciplines. And also to live the values, like, humility, absence of arrogance, like all these other values, disciplines, everything which have to be practiced deliberately, with lots of efforts. By whom? By a person who seeks knowledge. As a jignyasu bhaktaha, as a person who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the value of knowledge, when a person really makes efforts to become qualified for this knowledge, in order to be eligible to attain the knowledge, to have the contemplative disposition of the mind, this person makes really efforts. Isn't it? With great difficulty, one has to follow these disciplines. By practicing this, then what he has? Relative maturity, relative purity he attains. Isn't it? This relative purity, one attains by practicing these disciplines. How? With effort. By putting a lot of efforts, he attains these things. Isn't it? And then, because as an ignorant person, these efforts are involved there. But here as a wise person, all these disciplines become the natural traits for him. Okay, mental purity, antakarna shuddhi has to work as a karma yogi. But here as a jnani, antakarna shuddhi is what? Not relative purity, now absolute purity is the swabhavam of his mind. His mind is absolutely pure. A karma yogi, to have relative purity, has to work hard. Whereas a wise person, absolute purity becomes his swabhava, natural state of mind. For relative steadiness, the karma yogi has to work hard. But absolute steadiness, tranquility becomes very condition of the mind of a wise person. In fact, we can say this verse compares, a karma yogi doesn't say here, but I can say that. What all a karma yogi has to have, to become mentally pure and steady. That purity and steadiness a karma yogi has is only what? Relative. To become relatively pure, relatively steady, he has to work hard. But wise person is effortlessly, naturally, absolutely pure and steady. Okay, what is practiced effort with efforts by an ajnani becomes what? Spontaneous nature of ajnani. Is it clear? That's what this verse says. Vipranam. Vipranam means what? For wise people. Vipraha in this context means jnaninam. Atma jnaninam. Because we are discussing the wise person, isn't it? Vipranam for the wise people for whom all that is here is Brahma. And I am Brahma, I am Turiyam, therefore I am the whole. Those who are endowed with the vision of the whole being, the very self. Such people, Viprana. Yeshaha Vinayaha. Vinayaha means what? Absence of arrogance, humility, humbleness. Becomes what now? Prakritaha Uchete becomes a natural condition. Humility, they are not trying to be humble. A wise person need not try to be humble, need not make efforts to be, humble. Why? Because humility is his very nature. Why he does a humility? There's nothing other than Bhagavan. Please understand, Shastram always talks that the real humility is only in Jnanam, wisdom. Otherwise, there's no humility. The real humility, the absolute humility is only in Jnanam. Because there's nobody to humiliate you. Understand, nor can you humiliate anybody else. In not seeing a second thing other than the reality alone, one really appreciates humility. One is really humble. All that is here is only Brahma. Only in secondlessness, in the vision of non-dual reality, the humility is possible. Real humility is possible, isn't it? You can feel humble. That's only relative. Otherwise, when you feel the greatness of other people, you really feel humble. That humility is relative. But absolutely, one can be humble only in the vision of the non-duality, the secondlessness of the reality as one's own real self. The Turiya Atma Darshani Eva, it becomes a natural trait. Humility becomes something very natural. Being humble is a very natural thing for a wise person. Because everything is Brahma, isn't it? That is the Vipranam, Eshaha Vinayaha. Then Shamaha. Shamaha also. Shamaha means mastery over one's ways of thinking. Is mastery over one's thoughts. So a person, an ajnani, who lives a life of karma yoga to become qualified for knowledge, to become mentally refined, for one has to become relatively refined to become the absolutely refined personality, isn't it? For relatively one has to become refined. For mental refinement alone, one lives a life of dharma. He lives values, deliberately makes effort using his will, prayerfully, worshipfully. One who has to really struggle to live a life of dharma is not an easy joke, isn't it? Lives a life of values, follows all the disciplines strictly. Therefore, we say for relative refinement. But for a wise person, mind is an absolutely refined personality. The person of absolutely refined personality is what? The wise person. Therefore, Shamaha Prakriti prakriti ruchyate. Shamaha also, the absolute refinement, refined mind is the very nature of the mind of the wise person. Absolutely refined mind. Absolute refinement is the very nature of the mind. Very naturally there for a wise person. So relative refinement a karma yogi has to work for. But absolute refinement is naturally there for a wise person. Got it? What shamaha prakrita uchyate. So vinayaha is very natural. Then shamaha is also very natural. Damaha prakriti dantatvat. Also what now? Damaha prakriti dantatva. Damaha again what? Mastery over one's senses. Also, as a karma yogi, as the one who wants to, you know, become mentally refined for knowledge, such a person has to make lot of efforts to have mastery over his senses. Even then he can have only relative mastery over the senses. Efforts help a karma yogi to have relative mastery. But for a wise person in jnanam, effortlessly one has absolute mastery over the senses. A wise person has mastery over senses, absolute mastery over senses and mind, and all the disciplines become naturally there for him. Understand? Whereas for a karma yogi, effortfully he can have only relative mastery. Got it? Which means, what is a means of discipline? No? Preparatory means for a karma yogi becomes the very lakshanam for a jnani. What is a sadhanam becomes a lakshanam for a jnani. Sadhanam is for a ajnani, a karma yogi, but lakshanam for a jnani. So initially, use these disciplines as sadhanani, then they become your lakshanani. You become your very nature. So now you are working very hard. I have to become humble. You know, in jnanam, helplessly you will be humble. I want to have mastery over my mind, ways of thinking, thoughts. Effortlessly, you will have mastery over your thoughts. Absolutely mastery over your thoughts. I really want to, you know, work very hard. Initially, we have to have mastery over our senses. We are working hard to have relative mastery. In jnanam, you have absolute mastery. Why? Because where there is revelation fullness, then naturally you can have mastery over everything. That is why if you have the knowledge, you have mastery over your own mind. And having, that's what self-conquering. Conquering one's own mind is as good as conquering the whole world. We need not go and conquer everything. The conqueror of one's own mind is the conqueror of the entire world. Isn't it? That is possible only through wisdom, knowledge, assimilated, ascertained vision of one's own real nature, being Turiyam. Therefore, Vidwan Shamam Vrajet, which means, how do we know this person is absolutely humble? This person has all the values. This person has, how do we know that? All the disciplines, everything is very natural for this person. The person's absolute tranquility, mental tranquility is the proof. You can't measure how peaceful the person is, unaffected internally, that you, because you have your own perception, always we are ready to measure everybody's, because we see from our own standpoint, isn't it? We measure. That's why you can never measure. So the unafflictedness, the absolute tranquility the person enjoys, no? Which is also Bhagavan for such a, which is also Brahma for such a person. That is the measuring thing to know that this person has absolute mastery over everything. Senses, mind, and all the disciplines are very natural traits for him. We can include everything, compassion, whatever we try to be, for him it's a natural trait. Prakriti dantatvat evam vidvan shamam vrajet. Evam vidvan shamam vrajet means what? In this manner, one person enjoys the absolute tranquility. The enjoyment of absolute tranquility, shamam vrajeti, we have to understand. Shamam means what? Absolute tranquility he enjoys. Why? Because this dantatvat means, because of dantatva means mastery. Mastery over senses. Enjoying the status of having the absolute mastery over one's senses. Enjoying the status of having mastery over the senses called dantatva. For him, damaha, shamaha, everything becomes what? His absolute tranquility he enjoys itself is the proof that he has absolute mastery over everything.